Well, there you have it. That one was called Shinomosho Part 1. And, you know, like I said, they'll be in Fargo, so check it out. Anyway, I brought some other stuff tonight. In this era of female empowerment, I thought it'd be interesting to listen to a little bit of some Edge or Bad Girls type music. Girls Gone Wild on vinyl. Yeah, we should do a video. It could be like that sickening piece of shit on TV. I hate that ad. God. What's so wild about fishing a lake toy out of the back of an RV? I don't know what's so wild about that either. Anyway, let's hear some spoken word first, a short piece by Pleasant Gaimon. We should be familiar to those who track Southern California underground punk culture, etc. Probably one of the original Astro Burger girls. And after that, we'll go into some Karen Finley, and I'll just, you know, play a lot of different tracks for a while, and we'll get back to you and back and out some, so that you don't have to go to sleep tonight wondering, geez, who did that really, really great song about yams?
So bad that when she walked down the hallways at school, the whispers and stifled giggles preceded her like a hurricane. She wore black leatherette hot pants and black vinyl lace-up boots. Her hair was dyed black, and she wore her boyfriend's faded denim jacket because it matched her eyes and the sky blue shadow she wore in wings that nearly reached her ears. She was so bad. She talked back to everyone. Teachers and policemen alike, smoked in front of her mother, swore at her father, and carried a condom foil-wrapped in her wallet way before it was acceptable for girls to do so. She was so bad as her marks, as bad as her complexion, worse than they all thought, but she didn't care what they thought. She didn't care when she got caught shoplifting earrings and nail polish from Woolworths. She cared about her appearance, though, in the same way a pimp or a gangster would. The day she became my idol, she dragged a turquoise chair all the way across the cafeteria because the orange one she'd been sitting in clashed with her outfit. She was so bad.
We'll be right back. Remember everything, every little detail about the moments in your life that end up being turning points, and I mean everything, no matter how little or big that moment was. My own personal turning point came when my friend Gloria died. Well, really, after she died. Gloria was one of those maniac depressives, on medicine one minute, off at the next. She was always coming up with these grand schemes to save humanity when she was on the maniac high. I remember once she called me up, and it was real late at night, and I was sleeping, but she was so excited that I didn't hang up. She told me how she'd gotten this idea about making old age so it wasn't so miserable and lonely, and her idea was that the government should build a bunch of palaces coast to coast, and that when you hit 65, bingo, you were moved into one of these palaces where the service was A1 and all of your needs would be taken care of in the finest possible style, like one of those super fancy spas in Florida. She said that old people were America's national treasure and should be treated as such. I didn't want to burst her balloon, but frankly, it sounded too much like communism to me. I didn't say that because I knew she'd get depressed again soon and forget about her old people's palaces idea. Well, anyway, old Gloria finally got the blues in a real big way and stuck her head in the oven and turned on the gas. The way it became my turning point is that her parents decided to have an open casket funeral, which I didn't think was in the best possible taste under the circumstances, but it takes all kinds, doesn't it? Anyway, I was working at Jimmy's Beauty Bee Salon downtown. I've always had a talent for hair and makeup and such. It's always been in the back of my mind that someday I would go to Hollywood and maybe do makeup on one of the soap operas or something. Anyhow, working at the Bee was all right, but I wasn't exactly setting the world on fire, if you know what I mean. A lot of those clients really got on my nerves. It's amazing how performing in a service profession turns you into something like furniture or dirt in some people's eyes. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So poor dead Gloria, who has been my friend since before I can remember, kills herself. And when her parents were making the funeral arrangements, her sister calls me up and says, "Seeing how you were poor Gloria's best friend in this whole wretched world, could you do one last act of kindness for her and fix her makeup for the funeral?" Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather. I didn't really want to do it. I've never touched a dead person except once when I was 5, and my mama made me kiss my dead grandpa in his open casket on the lips, and boy, did that ever give me nightmares. But I was so stunned that I told Gloria's sister yes before my brain knew what my mouth was saying, and then I was obligated. Well, I did it. I was so scared at first, and between you and me, grossed out because old Gloria was bright blue from head to toe because of the method she chose. And when I first saw her lying on that slab, I just thought, Star, you and your big mouth have gotten yourself into one hell of a mess. But I pulled myself together and set my concentration to the task at hand, and I am telling you, hours went like minutes. Gloria had done me the final kindness of showing me where my calling lay. I became an artist. I pulled out all the stops, and by the time I finished, Gloria looked a lot better than she ever had in real life. Honestly, she looked like the Sleeping Beauty, all rosy and healthy, like just one kiss from the right prince, and she'd sit up and talk to you like she'd never committed suicide in the first place. That was my turning point, and let me tell you, I see them all, a little battered and bruised sometimes, but just like God made them when they first came into this world. We've got just McLean laid out there in drawer 2. He was one fine-looking man. Drank himself to death, the autopsy says. I looked. He's a cremation, so there's no cosmetics required. It's just as well. Today I've got to fix up Johnny Mangles for his viewing. I went to school with him all my life. We used to tease him. Johnny Mangles, everything we'd say when we were younger, and he'd just cry and cry. Johnny toughened up, I guess, from all that teasing, and he turned kind of mean later in life. Anyway, he had a head-on down on East 176 last night, so I've got my work cut out for me.
Let's go! can I say about people who think that every fucking thing that happens to them is a sign from the universe? Except, of course, the real things that happen to them. She notices number sequences that seem familiar, bird species that she's seen more than once. She thinks we've met before, perhaps been married in another life. Everything is a cosmic eruption to her. Everything means something, and she'll distort its meaning to suit her purposes. Sometimes I just want to slap her and say, look, this is just a bird. This is a number, just a number. You're a girl, not a connecting rod for unexplained phenomenon. I've had it with those psychocosmic, ooh, wow, I've been there before. I just had to sit there and meditate. I feel so crystallized, so infinite. Zuni, bimbo, soul-seeking, pot-smoking, procrastinatory, vegetarians. I've had it with them. It's just a pyramid shape. Just a symbol, just a form, just an object, just what it is. You're the one who's creating it, so stop it, will you? Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar. You're the one who thinks it means you're gonna get laid. Maybe it means you're gonna get cancer.
Waking up sometimes. know I think of you and all that bacon. You're out there making to bring on home to me. I think of you. I think of you.
Thank you.
Well, there's something from Genesis Peorage Dave brought up. It's called Je T'aime or Je T'aime or whatever. I'm not Canadian or French, or French-Canadian for that matter. Hey, that microphone works over there. Say something.
Yeah, it works.
All right. Hey, wow.
It actually works.
Amazing. Well, we're really cruising now. This is almost like real radio. I'm getting racked.
That was kind of a fun song. That's from the late 60s. It was Serge Gainsbourg's, pretty much his theme, huge hit.
Yeah, I was gonna, you would know. I was going to say, what is that? Sage who? Serge who?
Serge Gainsbourg.
Yeah. Do you know the name of the track?
Je T'aime.
Oh, it's actually eponymous. Okay. I'm just curious. Interesting.
Anton LaVey's on the other side.
Oh, we'll have to hear that later. He's dead now.
Yep.
He's a dead Satanist. He probably went to the bad place, what do you think?
No, I don't think he did.
No, probably went nowhere except, you know. Did you read about, like, his, when they liquidated his estate, it was a big mess. He was, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and the house was basically an eroding piece of garbage, and, you know, he drank from the cup before he left, let's say. Yeah.
Didn't he have a wax museum or something like that?
Yeah, he had his own private room that was made up like a bar that had, you know, mannequins that were pretty lifelike. He spent years building them there. He said that they were his drinking friends, his drinking buddies. What better drinking buddies? They don't talk back and they don't catch drinks. I don't know. It's another publicity stunt, I think. But
so what else do we hear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's right. We heard things. Well, we heard some stuff from female artists, and I'll play some more. We heard Little Annie, I Think of You, Single Gun Theory, I've Been Dying. Doesn't really fit into the bad girl image, but notable girl band, I think. Really great. Lauren Hoffman did a little spoken word, New Age Girl thing, and then before that, Neither World, Follow You Down, and Lisa Suckdog, Lisa Carver, I Want to Die, and also Nicole Panter with spoken word Star, and then we had Lotus Lame and the Lame Flames with Bad Sex, and that's really like disco era Hollywood classic. Before that, Karen Finley, The Yam Jam, and that was a rap. Bonus rap beat version, so you can mix it at your kid's next party, I guess.
Yeah. Sounded like Lisa Suckdog wanted drugs before she wanted to die, though.
No, I think she wanted drugs after she wanted to die.
I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know.
I want drugs and to die.
There you go.
So far, I'm only finding the death part. I can't find any good. Well, whatever. Let me see. So we're going to go to CD2 here, probably. Maybe. No, let's go to Phono 2. We have something from Miranda Stanton called Wheels Over Indian Trails. It's a fairly nauseating new wave era thump along, but it's so catchy. I thought it was a good setup, actually, for Tex and the Horseheads. Texcala Jones rocks, and she is truly one of the bad girls of rock and roll. If you ever get to see a movie called Border Radio, do so. She's really great in there. But anyway, three tracks from them, live tracks from Hell Comes to Your House Part 2. We'll hear Short Train, Go West, Young Man, and Slip Away. But first, Stanton Miranda.
Thank you. it's gonna be for real. Even if it's only 4 weeks. Well, what do you say, baby?
Thank you.
That was New Bomb Turks with Brother Orson Welles, and they played in town a couple of times, and they were both really great shows. They got the moves and the sound, and good record. Information Highway Revisited by the New Bomb Turks. And right before that, we sampled a little bit from a compilation tribute to Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs called Turban Renewal, and the track that we heard was by the Henchmen. It's called Like You Used To. That's a pretty nice CD too. Hazel Adkins, The Liars, The A-Bones, The Flesh Tones, Ben Vaughn, Handsome Dick Manitoba, people like that. It's a pretty fun thing. And after the break, we're going to hear Halo of Flies, Minneapolis band, doing Headburn.
Yeah, that's right. We got to go to break, take a little care of a little business. We have to flip discs, actually, so bear with us. Go to the fridge or something, like you're, or, you know, quit playing Nintendo for a minute or whatever. Right back.